behind schedule here, but.
Which one?
Your papers?
Yeah. It's a mini band.
Yeah.
It was.
Strategic plan. Getting through that, getting as many things that I can accomplish. Digging into my policy. Yeah,
it's informal,
so that became what I used to do. I took a whole bunch of people that run class or hand out stuff. It's turned out to be worse than that.
Excited to go.
Nice to meet you.
Can I join us, Paul?
Okay. Yes, here I am.
You know, I can only go to the end each night.
That's what you said. That's a check.
Oh, there you go.
Regina.
Deep breath.
That's my story.
You too.
All right, well, we are few in number, but strong in spirit, right?
Right.
All right, well, I'd like to welcome everybody. Do need to excuse Chief Matthew. He called yesterday and said that he had an urgent meeting that came up for today, so he's unable to be with us. Also, Sergeant Ryan Schostedt and Chief Mike Brown are also not in the room today. Do we have anyone on the phone bridge?
Hi, it's Greg Hamilton, SAIC.
Greg, thank you. Anyone else on the phone bridge? Okay, and I just want to make a note here regarding a request John Tate made. He offered to sit away from the table today because there is that RFP that's out on the street right now for radio, and where one of our numbers is a member of that evaluation team. He did not feel comfortable in sitting up here at the table, but that person is not here, that evaluator is not here, so I see no conflict in welcoming you up here. So just want to make a note of that. The first item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes from the July 12th meeting. Did all of you have the opportunity to review those, and do you see any corrections or additions needed?
Is Motorola spelled correctly?
There is one spot on page two,
about
two-thirds of the way down. Just a little typo.
Okay, I'll get that changed.
Yeah.
Which one you're looking at?
It's underneath. It says this was seconded by John Tate, Motorola. And it's just the one, should be just one L.
Yeah, just one L, Motorola. That's all I noticed.
That was the other thing I noticed. Oh, and sorry, on page three. At the very end, the seconding by Kate.
Casey doesn't know who he is.
Thank you.
So I'll keep it this way.
Did anyone else have any other additions or corrections?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Regina. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you for the second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? And any abstaining? Okay, the minutes approval of minutes has passed. Now move on to number two on our agenda for today, opportunity for public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to make a comment? Okay. All right, so hearing none, going to move on to number three on the agenda, which is the chair report. I did just have one item that Mike asked me to pass along to you all. It is actually regarding the RFP for the radio system. He just wanted to let everyone know that UCA had a couple small procedural issues in the RFP that they wanted to address, and when all the responses came back, it would have excluded all of the respondents had that those procedural details not been included. So an extension was made for a little over a week to allow all the parties to go back and to fill in those procedural blanks before resubmitting that information. And that, I believe, closed yesterday. And so they are back on track for their evaluation purposes now. That's all you wanted me to mention. All right, so the main body of our day today is going to be presentation from FirstNet. So I'd like to welcome Ian Forty and Tracy, and what was your name? I'm sorry.
Shay.
So take it away. We'll leave it to you.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody. I'm just going to take a quick minute, introduce everybody, and make a couple quick comments here. So I think I know most of you in the room here, but I'm Gordy Coles. So I work for Utah Communications Authority. I'm the Interoperability Division Director, also the Utah Single Point of Contact for FirstNet here. So basically, I just wanted to welcome Tracy and Shay. Happy for them to be here with us today. Tracy's going to talk to us today about public-private partnership and what that looks like from a national level and kind of what's going on in the future and maybe some other things. That's all I know for right now. Shay's going to talk a bit about AT&T and their FirstNet offering, and he's ready to answer any questions that you guys have, so give him heck. Just set you up there. Just before I turn the time over to Tracy, I just wanted to make a couple comments. One is, it's a common misunderstanding that the FirstNet AT&T service is a replacement of the land mobile radio system. I just want to make clear that it's not a replacement and won't be for the foreseeable future. It's a supplement. It's meant to be broadband data services, and your mission critical voice will still occur over the land mobile radio system that we have. And to help reinforce that, you just mentioned the RFP that we're under right now. We're getting ready to upgrade the 800 meg system to a P25 network. So that'll get it up into the new technology and allow a lot more operational and functionality to the system. So we're looking at spending a lot of money on that. So that's hopefully a comfort to you to know that LMR is going to be around for a while and be your mission critical voice opportunity or resource. Also, just to mention, you know, AT&T's here with them. I've heard a lot that that they don't have a lot of coverage in this area, which is maybe true, maybe not. Jay can speak to that some more. But I think what we need to realize is that it's a great benefit to our public safety providers out there, our first responders. For one, as they continue to build out, they're improving, eventually will improve coverage. And at first now, as they're putting in the Band 14 network, they're going to be expanding the capacity of their sites. So as they put the Band 14 on their existing sites, you'll have more capacity. And as time goes on, there'll be some new site builds and coverage will get better. The other thing that's a big benefit is today, if you were to sign up, you have priority preemption on their commercial network. So that gives first responders the bandwidth that they need when there's an event going on that's the public's using up the bandwidth. They're able to manage that and give you guys the bandwidth that you need to manage that event. So I just wanted to speak to that a little bit. But that's really all I have. I just want to go ahead and turn the time over to Tracy now and let her speak to you about what's going on in FirstNet world.
Thank you, Gordy. So who has heard of FirstNet? Okay, perfect. So this might be a review for some, but I just wanted to level set it for everybody, and then I'll turn it over to Shay, who will talk about the network in Utah.
My name is Tracy, and I'm with the FirstNet Authority, which means that I'm the government oversight. I'm a federal employee, whereas Shay is with the FirstNet AT&T. He's the one that's building the network.
So thank you for the opportunity to come and speak with you and let you know about what's going on. I want to start just making sure that everybody realizes that FirstNet is a wireless broadband network. It's not an app, it's not a device, it's that network. And it's the network that will enable interoperable communications. And it's it's really the future of communications. Gordy's exactly right that this is mission critical data. It's not designed right now because the technology isn't there to replace the voice. So that's the level set, right? Okay, so public-private partnership. Why is the government in the same room with AT&T? So it all started back with 9/11 when the communication was just, they weren't able to communicate. Police weren't able to talk to fire. It was just they didn't have that interoperable communications. They public safety officials lobbied Congress that, hey, we need some help. The commercial sector is not doing what we need to do, and we need you to intervene. So eventually in 2012, Congress passed a law and created FirstNet. And so that's where we have the federal government agency is FirstNet. It's an independent agency. We have a board of directors. We don't take taxpayer funds. The initial funding was through an auction of spectrum. Ongoing funding is actually through subscriber fees. And the purpose of that is to make sure that the network actually meets the public safety needs. So that Congress said, you will create this network. It's up to us to make it good enough. The public safety says, yes, this is actually what we want. That's the preferred network. So we went out and did an RFP and said, okay, industry, here's what public safety needs. What can you do for us? It was a very competitive situation. AT&T was awarded the contract and is now the private part of that public-private partnership. So the
federal agency is now overseeing that contract. My job is to talk with public safety and to listen and to get the case studies. What are your challenges? What are the successes? And it's a 25-year contract, and as we grow out, it's making sure that it continues to be truly the public safety network. And then the AT&T, Shea and his team are now building that network. They're providing that public safety broadband communications network. And what they bring is all of their expertise and their infrastructure that already exists, so that instead of just starting with zero, a greenfield, and building out so that a year from now we can make that first call or send that first text message, AT&T has said we're going to do an all-band solution, and so we're starting out with the current AT&T network and then building that out. And there was a 5-year plan that was presented to the governor that he said, yes, this looks good, and to expand that, the network coverage that public safety needs. I put these on here just because this is the future. You're going to see more and more broadband in public safety. That just with streaming that data, you're seeing it in the private sector. Citizens expect it. Public safety, these tools, they save lives, they help. And it's not just in public safety. It's also you're seeing more and more that Internet of Things. You're getting the smart cities, and then public safety now is all part of that. So just the need for this public safety network is growing, and so we're just getting ahead of that, so that we can develop it as that technology is growing. All right, so what? I mean, you already have broadband. Why do we really need this? What does it do for me? How are you different? How is FirstNet different? Well, first of all, like I said, this is a network that was fought for by public safety, that the private sector wasn't meeting the needs, and so therefore it's rolling out to meet that gap. And it has the oversight organization. No other agency has the oversight that AT&T has on their network. You have me working here side by side with Shay. You have auditors that are coming in. There's reports on, okay, you said that this was the plan for the governor. Now, are you performing to meet that? And so there's just that checks and balances. It's much more than just marketing me too. It is that oversight that saying that, are you performing as public safety needed? It's the only network that's actually guaranteed in reinvestment in public safety. And so those subscriber fees are now fed back into the network. And so where it might not be viable for a commercial network to put a tower or provide that service, but public safety needs it because it's a canyon where there aren't that many people, but it's highly recreated, or it's a hazmat path. So that's how it'll continue to expand through the network. Dedicated core, Shay will talk about that. Additional security, more than just, we have a secure network. It's actually people looking at the network separately. Shay will talk about more about that. And the customer service line, being in the United States 24/7 with people specifically trained in public safety. Those are all benefits, along with deployables that are just available for the FirstNet subscribers for the public safety. And then we have a lab. FirstNet has a lab in Boulder, Colorado that tests and validates the devices, the apps, to make sure that they have basic security, because that was important for public safety to have that security of the network, that things actually, the devices meet the parameters that public safety needs, whether it's wearing gloves or it's noise or it's in their helmet. It's just unique. So you're seeing that economies of scale now, and industry saying, oh, we want to do that. So it's competition for that. So that's exciting. If you're ever interested in seeing the lab in Boulder, let me know. I'm happy to work that out with you. So that's the government, the FirstNet FirstNet Authority oversight. And with that, I'll turn it over to Shay, who's going to talk about the FirstNet network in Utah. Any questions for me?
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Well, most of the faces here are familiar, so sorry you guys have to look at my face again. But I love meeting and gathering with public safety, and again, we're grateful for you guys opening up a few minutes for us to talk about some of the updates. And I know you guys have heard a lot about FirstNet, but I think today, for those of you that have heard a lot about it, may learn something a little bit new and get some more detail with some of the updates that we've done with the FirstNet solutions here for the state of Utah, and more specifically, like Tracy talked about, with the FirstNet core, the public safety dedicated core. So what's exciting about this? Well, really, I was just in a meeting earlier this week with an entity, a CIO, who said, well, Shay, FirstNet's really not here yet. It's still a couple years out. I said, oh, really? What? Where'd you hear that from? Well, the competitors, right? The competitors. Well, I had to say, oh, actually, no, that's not true at all. FirstNet is here, and it's here today. We have an offering of solutions for public safety entities that's available right now, and thousands of lines of service are already active here within the state of Utah on FirstNet. So when did it become available? Again, November 6th of last year is when Governor Herbert opted in, as all 56 states and territories governors had to opt in order for us to make this solution become available throughout the state. We, AT&T, FirstNet, would be responsible for building, maintaining, and operating the network within the state of Utah for the next 25 years. So it's a 25-year contract. And that started from November 6th till now. We had solutions in place. Things have evolved since November 6th. And so on this particular slide, I'll touch on a couple of these, but really some of the biggest asks from public safety, and this is a very unique scenario in which you guys find yourselves today when it comes to a public-private partnership. In the past, and I've got 18 years experience in the cellular industry, a private company, especially at a cellular level, isn't always going to want to accommodate what rural America or rural areas may want to do and have a new cell site, because it's a lot of money and there may not be enough return on investment if they build out particular cell sites in an area, and they're just not going to get the subscriber base to withstand that. So here, this is a different story. FirstNet, it doesn't matter now. The focus is we're going to build this out and have 99.99% of service availability to Americans here within the next 5 years. And here specifically in Utah, that is a goal. And I'll show you some of the coverage that we're developing for that. But aside from the network piece, the biggest ask due to 9/11 is public safety needed to have their own prioritized communications platform where you guys could have priority and preemption services within your communication systems. And I'll talk a little bit about that. The local control is another big piece of that. You guys wanted to be able to control at a local level certain incident management scenarios without having to call all over the place or try to figure out who's going to help you. Is it going to be your service provider? Who's that going to be? So that was a big ask, and we have that available today. We've got the dedicated FirstNet help desk, the support line that's for public safety, satellite services. I'll go into some of that as well. A big, big ask, and we're seeing it kick off big time here in Utah, has been subscriber paid. So I'll go over more detail on what that entails and what that looks like for individual agencies or personal lines of service who want to participate on FirstNet and get FirstNet services. FirstNet Core is, and Tracy touched on it, it's a big key differentiator than what the competition out there is going to be able to do. And I'll go into some additional details on that. And then the deployment of Band 14, that was the specific spectrum set aside by FirstNet that we're able to go layer our network, existing network infrastructure with, and new site construction with. That's going to be the dedicated band for public safety. And then on top of that, all the additional bands that AT&T has in existence today will be part of that solution so that you guys can get that priority and preemption access to the network. The question comes up all the time, okay, well, how are you guys going to monitor, how do you guys determine who gets to participate in FirstNet? So right here, who we're considering primary users are fire, law enforcement, EMS, PSAPs, and emergency managers. Those are the folks that we're saying, you guys are primary, and the services you subscribe to, if you choose to subscribe to the FirstNet network, you guys get your priority and preemption baked into your cost of the plan, so you're not paying anything extra for that. question?
Yeah.
About priority and preemption, is it available on any device that's running AT&T right now, or only Band 14 compliant devices?
Fantastic question. We get that all the time. It is on all the bands. So it will be on all the bands and all of the devices that we have today, starting from iPhone 5s, 5s on up, and then the Galaxy devices from Samsung Galaxy S7s and up. So pretty much anything that's been out for the last 3 years or more is already eligible to get the priority and preemption on the network. And I'll go into a little more detail on that too, so you can see what that looks like. The other big key piece of this is that first responder primary users also qualify for that subscriber pay feature that I talked about. So I'll go into more detail about it, but that they also, you guys also qualify for that as a primary user if you wanted your own personal line of service on FirstNet that you are responsible for. Extended primary? Yeah.
Clarification on that. So for my agency, we're provided a stipend for our phones.
Yeah.
We are allowed to go and buy whatever phone we want, but the sheriff is reluctant to put us under the account. It's been difficult. I'm the Getz person for Tulare County. It was a little bit difficult to sign up for wireless priority service because they required that the account be a government account.
Yeah, yeah, you will run into
that. Yeah, and so my question on that is that going to be handled? How are you guys going to handle an individual user like myself who doesn't have a government account to prove? And then also, our fire departments, we have 13 fire departments in Tooele County. The majority of them are volunteer. How are you going to manage people that initially sign up saying that they are and then they're no longer? You're going to have some difficulty. How do you get them off once they're on?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be covered? Sorry.
No. Okay. Regina, you're fine. Actually, okay. I will be covering that, and I'm glad you're asking it, because it is coming up more now that we're seeing more of this being deployed in Utah. Can we park lot that for just a second,
and I'll get to the... I just didn't know for sure. Now was the time.
Okay. No, you're great. I'm glad you're asking it, because this is going to be a big, exciting thing for first responders that fall into your BYOD scenario. Bring your own device.
Right.
So it's going to be talked about, and I'll highlight that
okay.
in just a second. The other participants on FirstNet can be your hospitals, medical facilities, ambulatory services, utility companies, transportation. All those folks that support you guys in an event, they can also participate on FirstNet and take advantage of the FirstNet suite of applications and offerings as well throughout the state. So that's another key piece of this whole infrastructure. So pricing, I'm gonna go over the pricing. The subscriber paid is part of that. I'll talk a little bit more about the network specifically here in Utah, and then we'll finish up with some additional key differences again, like we've discussed. But really the ask of public safety was, in order to entice public safety to want to adopt their own network. This is your network. It's not AT&T. It's public safety's network. We needed to be competitive in the pricing space. The reality is we felt, and I have 16 and a half years with Verizon, and I was familiar with their pricing. We went to the state level and AT&T folks. We said we need to be more competitive based on the main provider that owns a lot of business here in the state of Utah. And we were able to get this pricing, and as a matter of fact, this pricing ended up being approved nationally for all state local entities. But I feel it's very, very, very competitive. And so the agency would pay, for example, on your smartphones, unlimited everything, $44.99 a month, which includes unlimited hotspot. So you get unlimited minutes, messaging, and data. Baked into that is you get your priority services and preemption built into that. This is a big key difference that the competition and competitors will not simply do. FirstNet, we will not cap. We will not throttle any voice messaging or data. you're simply going to be able to just pick up your device and understand and know that when you're in the coverage area, you're going to be able to make that call, send that text, send that picture, as long as you're within the AT&T LTE coverage footprint.
Hey, Shake, before you move away from pricing, just a point. This pricing has been added to the NASTO contract on the state's cooperative contract list, so you have a contract vehicle to be able to go subscribe to service without having to go out to bid or whatever. So,
great point, Gordy. Great point. Yes, that is a very key point. And many of you are already familiar probably with the NASPO contract vehicle. We also, to add to that, have another contract vehicle we've been using for, and this goes back to what you were asking, on a subscriber paid level, is mpp.gov. It's another one that we're using now because in your space, Bucky coming from the your career background, there's been a lot of volunteer firefighters that don't have a contract vehicle under which they can purchase. They don't get provided cell phone services. So mpp.gov is another vehicle we're using now to be able to offer this exact same pricing that mpp.gov has been willing to match this exact pricing as well, which is awesome. You get no roaming, no long distance in Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. territories with the FirstNet price plans as well. But part of what Gordy talked about, the NASPO agreement, what we also did through that vehicle is all of our pricing on the hardware is subsidized at a two-year cost. So a lot of entities are used to paying a device payment plan of some sort. Well, you get a subsidized cost, we take an extra $50 off of that for FirstNet subscribers, and then on top of that, we're adding $100 activation fees, credits, I should say, not fees, but for that smartphone that you activate. And then to help offset some of that capital expenditure, we've done multiple buybacks of the agency's existing equipment to help provide additional savings in adopting FirstNet. Any questions on the pricing? No? Okay, great. And this pricing goes into this next step, and this is, Regina, where I'll dive into a little bit more on how and what this is going to look like. So the pricing for subscriber pay, we are tasked by FirstNet to offer this to first responders. This is our main mission, right? Well, those who are in the volunteer space or maybe don't get a stipend, maybe they do get a stipend, we are tasked to also offer that same offering to them. And this is how it's going to look from AT&T's perspective. AT&T's retail team is tasked to manage this side of FirstNet. So our AT&T retail teams, and they've started to do this within the last couple of weeks, are going out to first responder entities with these FirstNet subscriber paid flyers to let these agencies know that those individuals can subscribe to FirstNet, have their own personal plan that the agency isn't responsible or tied to, but they set up their own personal account. FirstNet is authorized one device per first responder. So it's just their own account with one device only. You have a choice of a smartphone or a data device. The pricing matches this pricing. So Bucky, for example, if you went in and got your own smartphone line, you would pay $39.99 a month plus taxes and fees. If you brought your own device that's already paid for, we will allow you to activate that. You don't pay any additional phone equipment fees for that. Say you need a new device or you want a new device on the AT&T FirstNet platform. Well, you would pay that monthly cost, $39.99 or $44.99, plus whatever device payment option of that selected and chosen device. So, and that ranges in price from $8 a month to $35 a month if you go for the gusto and get an iPhone 10 or something. That's the higher end. So you would pay that device fee plus this monthly. The other piece that our retail team is tasked with on top of this, in my meetings with public safety throughout the state, they always ask, well, okay, well, what if I want to bring my family over? Can we be on FirstNet? No. you can bring your family over to AT&T. AT&T just launched a new program now where public safety, it's called our First Responder Appreciation Offer. All the families now can get 25% off every line on the family account as part of the public safety offering, but that is completely consumer. So if you see these guys come around, or if you hear in your county's entities, hey, AT&T retail came and dropped off all these flyers, what's going on? This is the focus. This is why you'll see that. How, Regina, how are we gonna monitor that? So two ways. One is, it is required that the agency have somebody that's an administrator to this. So that person who is chosen to administer that goes into the FirstNet Local Control Center portal, uploads all the names of the firefighters or deputies or officers to validate that they're with the agency. That person then gets an email with a link to fill out their credentials. It kicks it back to our server, which in turn kicks out another email, a secondary email, with an activation code that they print off or just show on email at the AT&T retail store to sign up for FirstNet line of service. So, say they leave.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, you don't know about that for years.
So there's two ways this is gonna happen. We are doing auditing on our end once a year, from what I've been told at this point. We would send the administrator an email or reminder to review the list and validate that these folks that are under the account profile, it's a separate umbrella that's under the entity, but they just validate if they're still with them. If somebody already knows that somebody left, the website allows you to delete their name out of there and remove them. At that point, it doesn't disconnect their service. They are just required to, if they go to a new agency, they'd have to go under that new agency's umbrella, or go to a personal account or with whatever provider they choose at that point. And that's how that's going to be managed. Any questions?
When you say that's required, that they're required to do that, it doesn't happen automatically where they're transitioned to a personal account as opposed to a FirstNet account on your end?
Automatically?
Yeah, if we nick someone out of the list and say, no, they're no longer employed, it's then upon them to go. I didn't understand that.
Oh, okay, yeah. So at that point, they're deleted out of the FirstNet portal and FirstNet offering. Okay. So the discount and the features and benefits will expire on their line of service. So at that point, they need to go and proactively go to the new agency, AT&T FirstNet umbrella, or whatever that might look like for them, depending on their individual scenario. But it's available for, like in your case, Captain Fassett, your agency has FirstNet already, but if there's a few officers that want their personal line on that, they can do it as well. It's an offering that allows everybody to get the benefits of FirstNet with the priority and preemption. So I just kind of wanted to lay the roadmap of what that's going to look like, because it's going to be a lot of our retail folks here in the state that are inviting via email or actually in person with these steps and FirstNet offerings. Any questions that may come up from you guys, or if you get concerns from folks, I'm the FirstNet consultant for the FirstNet program here in the state of Utah. Funnel that to me. And then if Tracy needs to get involved, we can. If Gordy gets the feedback, he can reach out to me. We're all in this together. We want to make sure this works and is successful here in the state of Utah and around the country. And so next is the network. This is been so fun for me to be part of this network build out piece, because in my roles in the past, I just simply couldn't go to my network team and say, so and so wants a tower right here, and they'd laugh and like, good luck, right? Well, now this is a game changer. I've been in meetings with Bucky and many others around the state that say, hey, we need some cell sites here. Gordy was part of those meetings. So what has AT&T FirstNet done for this first round of the initial build-out plan? We've got 16 cell sites, and I'll show them. But we've also invested $200 plus million into the network here just in Utah in the last 3 years. The number one question I get, or concern I get when I meet with folks, is AT&T's network just isn't good. When was the last time that you test drove the network? It's been 5, 8, 10 years. Okay. I guarantee it's definitely better now than when you probably tried us last. And shockingly, we've got a very strong network in a lot of areas, but there's still some gaps. And because of that, you need to funnel that to me, who I in turn go to my network team to get these areas on the roadmap build-out plan, whether that be the first round, the second round. I need to know that so that my network team can build this out. We've got, with the governance of FirstNet, we have to meet these coverage milestones that no other carrier is committed to. If we don't meet it, we're fined. And so we are chomping at the bit to ensure that we can get the coverage where you guys need it.
My PSAP doesn't even have it.
What's up?
We can't get AT&T and RPSAP at all.
Yes, so that's the other piece of the network side that I wanted to bring out as well. It's not just the outdoor coverage you guys need. The PSAP centers, dispatch centers, EOCs are built like bunkers, and sometimes it's tough to get coverage indoors as well. So what does AT&T do for that scenario? We've got enterprise solution that ties into your existing fiber infrastructure. It acts as a cell site within the building that we have available. Or in John's case at UPD, we put a DAS BDA system in their building. That's the preferred method, especially long-term, for that, to really get a robust in-building solution. There's as simple as Wi-Fi calling too. So Wi-Fi calling is another option in building if cellular services don't get in there as well. So there's a whole different slew of options internal that we want to make sure that we can accommodate as part of the FirstNet solution. And it's an ongoing consultative process. Gordy knows this. Once they highlighted the 16 specific sites initially, was it 2-3 months ago, Gordy, my network team came to me and wanted me to reach out to Gordy and say, hey, some of these other areas that we were talking about, where can we start our next round? So we got about a dozen more outside of this on the roadmap for our additional build-out plan, and that's kind of the business operations plan that we see moving forward here in the state of Utah to ensure that you guys have that build out. And again, it's great if you guys have this feedback in your individual counties, cities, agencies, and I move it on up the chain. These new cell site builds are band 14 specific, the public safety band, plus all our other LTE bands. All of that's started. It takes about 18 to 24 months for one of these to be online and firing on all cylinders and up and going. Gordy talked about it at the beginning. We're layering existing infrastructure now with band 14. Utah will see some band 14 by the end of the year. First in this valley. And so you're gonna see that continue to build out. And across the country, we'll have 35% of the country with band 14 by the end of this year. We are tasked by year 2022 to have 95% of the country covered in band 14 by then. And I feel this is a good opportunity to bring this up because a lot of folks have told me, well, we don't want to adopt FirstNet until band 14 comes out because that's the public safety band. I say, why not now? The solution's already here now. Band 14 is that dedicated spectrum. However, that band 14 is just going to add some additional capacity layers down the road, but you can take advantage of FirstNet now. There's no need to wait for band 14, because that's a build out that's going to be 1 to 5 years in the making, depending on the cell sites that are scheduled to be built. And right now, this year, as we're doing this build out, Gordy also touched on this, we're layering additional infrastructure for capacity, but we're also touching those same cell sites at the same time with next-gen technology. So our 5G is just around the corner. So we're laying the hardware for that at the same time so that once 5G is around, we just flip a switch for a software upgrade, and boom, we're lit up with 5G. So we're doing that now as well as we do the build out here in the state of Utah. I unfortunately don't have specific dates and times when that's going to launch, but it's exciting that it's there. The deployables.
Can I ask Gordy a quick question?
Yeah.
On back slide on that. The initial 16, Gordy, where in what format did you come up with the priority on those?
So we had a meeting with Lynn Yoakum with UDOT. She's the fiber, sort of the fiber for UDOT.
Okay.
We had her and several other people that we talked about. We met with and talked with them about where they felt like coverage is needed. One of the biggest areas we wanted was along I-70 from Salina Canyon to Green River. There's pretty much nothing there. So that was one of our main priorities. And then a few other areas in the rural areas that we talked about. And then these additional sites that he's talked to on top of these were the same thing. Actually, some more coverage along I-70, extending that out a little bit farther. And then more rural areas.
So for our situation where we had the Middle Canyon fire a couple weeks ago and we had the problem with the coverage from AT&T in that area, we are now just shipping our needs to Shea, and Shea, you get them to Gordy, or is there a better forum for our needs in Tooele County, or I should not speak just to Tooele County, but any of our counties? Is it just to Shea to you?
You funnel that to me.
Okay.
Yeah, and if Gordy gets feedback on specific areas, he's going to funnel that to me, and then I take that to our network team. Yeah, because it's going to be so individualized based on your counties.
Right.
And that's why I want each individual agency or entity to come to me with those concerns, because I have direct communication with our RAN team, and that's what's unique about this. So, yeah, you funnel all that.
A lot of these, the 16 initial sites were based off of the initial data collection that we did, and where we were lacking coverage that wasn't included in. There's a lot of white space in there in the initial state plan that we got from AT&T, and so that's where we added in those sites where we could. We actually had several more in there, but the 16 is what they gave us to start with.
Okay.
And then the additional ones later. So.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we'll keep working with that and trying to improve that as time goes on. You know, it's a 25-year contract, so it's going to be over that whole span of time that they'll work to improve the coverage here.
But the first 5 years, we're going fast and furious to get as much coverage in rural and tribal nations as possible.
And that's a requirement of the contract. They have to address rural during the 5 years. They can't wait and do it at the end.
Right, that's...
Mm-hmm. It has to be all in each phase.
Yeah,
there has to be rural build-up.
And I will point out, this map that you guys see up here is the blue. That's what the coverage will be by year 2022. So 4 years from now is what that coverage indicates. The white is still that white space. So those mountainous terrain areas, that the only way we're getting service there is by one of those trucks that you see in the bottom left corner. And I'll go over some of those additional deployables that we're launching to help bridge gaps in coverage and other things. But I want to highlight the first priority of the priority services as a whole. In the past, GETS and WPS has been around for years, and that's been your method of flagging a network in a telecommunications line that you have priority by dialing a code, and you highlight with DHS a certain group or people that have that priority. It's voice centric. The public safety asks, we need everything to be prioritized. So this offers voice, text, and data prioritized 24/7 by 365. It is always, always on. It's not if needed, when needed. It is an always on feature across all of our LTE bands around the country. So if you've got a Utah number activated on a FirstNet phone here in Utah and you're vacationing in Disney World in Florida, you're gonna get prioritized service and be able to get out. That's what's, this was an ask, and that's what you guys need. And what's exciting about this, there's been many events that I've been a part of here in the state of Utah where we've seen this in action. Most recently, Sandy City has had a beast of a time with their current provider getting out and having their officers connect to CAD and and their RMS during Real Salt Lake games. And so they had a month where they were going to be supporting five soccer games between Real Salt Lake and the Monarchs. And so we provided them three demos provisioned with FirstNet Priority on those data devices. And 100% reliability for every single event that they supported. They could connect to RMS, they could connect to CAD, despite the thousands of people in congestion that the networks were causing before FirstNet was tested. And the officers didn't want to give them up. They saw firsthand what the priority and quality of service is going to do in that scenario. And that's just a simple activity and event that they're supporting that's not even an emergency. You guys need it for your day-to-day work, and that's what this is so key and crucial. A lot of people think, oh, it's just for emergencies, and what's the percentage that we're even going to need priority? Because the assumption is it's only for emergencies. Well, FirstNet, no, it's all the time. You can't worry about if it's going to work. And again, I'll highlight, we will not throttle or cap your data, voice, or text with the FirstNet solution. The preemption piece, we don't see that happening too often, but that's in the event that we need to reallocate assets on our network to get all public safety and supporting entities of public safety prioritized services for voice, text, and data. And we can kick them off completely, the network, or just reallocate them to other bands within the network to ensure that public safety and the supporting entities are there with their prioritized services when they need it. Any questions on this? Okay. This is a big, big key differentiator that I'd really like to highlight here. The ask of public safety was they needed one dedicated core, not multiple cores blended or meshed together, but one dedicated core for public safety coast to coast. And the FirstNet core is launched as of March of this year. This is completely separate hardware from our commercial network, so it's diverting traffic from our commercial network so that you guys have your own pipeline or highway, so to speak. And only public safety traffic is on that. You have end-to-end high security, all the devices are connected to it. You also have geographical redundancy. We have data centers placed around the country for that built-in redundancy if something were to happen and go down. We've got and how are we going to determine those devices that go to this core network? It's with this little card right here. It's the FirstNet SIM card. This is what's going to divert the traffic from the commercial core over to the public safety FirstNet core. And it's a 3-in-1, so it's one size and three different punch outs for the size of your SIM card, depending on your data device and your voice device that you have. That's going to put you on the FirstNet core. And there's some exclusive features related to the core versus what you might have on the standard AT&T network, which is still FirstNet with priority and preemption. This is going to give you some added benefits, though, that the standard AT&T core will not. The FirstNet priority and preemption is good across the board on our AT&T core or FirstNet core. But I'll talk about some additional key features here in just a moment. But with the network and the core, we've seen a lot of these deployed this year with all the fires happening here out west. We've deployed those. We've had here in Utah, out east. But this suite of deployables that we're offering, never before has this been offered for free. But if you're a FirstNet subscriber, all you need is one line active. You can call me or the FirstNet support line and say, we need a deployable for this emergency or this event. Or if you got a planned county fair event, whatever that looks like to you guys, if there's a need, you can call the FirstNet support desk, myself, and we can get a deployable that's available at no cost. And we have the number, yeah, it's 800-574. That's the dedicated line for all FirstNet related support, or you can contact me directly and I can get the ball rolling. But these are dedicated to you guys for your events and what you need to support at no cost. We've got 72 FirstNet specific cell and light truck that we are committed to building, the first 23 this year. And over the next couple of years, we'll continue to build that those out. But that's going to be band 14 specific. They're sat colts, so they don't require power or fiber. You just drive out to that white space. We can set up shop, and within 40 minutes, we can have cellular traffic going. And one of those trucks can support up to 200 users simultaneously. The range on those is about 4 miles around on those.
What's your lead time for?
What's that?
What's the lead time for a request typically?
Okay, perfect question. That comes up a lot as well. So the SLA per our terms and conditions with FirstNet is 14 hours. And the next question is, gosh, that's not fast. The emergency's gonna be, yeah. But that's the SLA, 14 hours. In speaking with our National Disaster Recovery Team, most of them are deployed a lot sooner and quicker than that. For example, the ones in Northern California that we deployed were there within 3 or 4 hours. And that'll aggregate existing coverage if you need capacity. But in some of the cases in California, we had 3 cell sites completely melt down, and so we had to replace coverage where coverage was completely wiped out. And that's where these can come into play. We've got tethered drones, which is exciting. We're still using them down in Puerto Rico. It's a tethered drone that flies up about 200 feet in the air, so no concerns about batteries dying. And that produces an LTE signal about 30 miles in radius around it to help keep people connected during those times as well. You're going to see a lot more options for deployables. Another thing we just launched 2 weeks ago, or it's not out yet, but we talked about it. It's emergency drop kits. So these kits weigh 25 pounds. They're quick, rapid deployment. They come with a cradle point modem router that provides a 300-foot Wi-Fi bubble that can also support multiple users. They come with 4 Sonim ruggedized smartphone devices with the Intrepid Response app installed on it. It's a situational awareness app that it comes built with. And then it also has a satellite panel for satellite services too. So if you go into a white space area, you can still be up and running. And these are allowed to be daisy chained. So if you need to broaden your service bubble, these can be daisy chained and create that larger Wi-Fi bubble if necessary. These are going to be available within the next 30 to 60 days. And I'm sorry, I don't have a price yet on those. But I'm told they'll be, depending on which you have, satellite or no satellite, somewhere in the $6,000 up to $20,000, just depending on what you need for it. But we'll get specific pricing on that here in the next little bit. But it's another great option for quick, rapid deployment in emergency scenario. Any questions on that? And these types of things are just going to continue to evolve. Already, they come with 4 power or Ethernet ports and some additional ports. But we're revamping it already based on public safety feedback that saw it. And we're building new ones to have some of these ports on the sides of the box instead of where you see on the inside. So it's just a way that, again, public safety can kind of guide the ship and be in the driver's seat. And then just to recap, and I'm just about finished here, but the FirstNet SIM, a big difference with one of these SIM cards is you can, as an administrator of an incident management scenario, uplift people, as long as they have a FirstNet SIM, within 3 different levels of priority on the FirstNet portal. So if you have their phone numbers and you know, like a utility, the city utility is going to be helping in an event, you can uplift them for 24-hour period, maximum at this point is 2 weeks, and allow them to have prioritized services on their FirstNet device, and they don't have to pay for it. It's included as part of that. That is only available as long as they're on the FirstNet Public Safety Core. If they're on the AT&T Core, they will not be able to be uplifted. There is an option for a utility company. For example, I've got a couple up in Summit and Wasatch County that choose to be prioritized. They can do that is $7.50 a month for that utility company on that line of service to have priority. But if they want to be elevated, they have to have a FirstNet SIM. And the Band 14, when it is launched, that is going to be the home where public safety resides. So that'll be the signal that your device to search out first. If you're outside of that scope, it defaults to all our other LTE bands. And that is another crucial point. The competitors, it's only certain bands that priority will work on. The priority is still WPS type feature. Ours is all our LTE bands. It doesn't matter where you're at in the country, it's all our LTE bands you're going to get prioritized on for voice, text, and data. And lastly, I think this again reiterates our core, as the other entities out there, carriers, are building their own public safety cores. They're virtual, which sits and resides on their commercial network still. This ask by public safety was have your own separate core. And that's the big key difference. They've probably come and talked to you guys about it already, or they will. But it's all separate hardware core that you guys are going to get with a FirstNet SIM card. And then it's a self-sustaining financial model. So Tracy mentioned it with this public-private partnership. We are guaranteeing public safety is getting reinvestment into your network. So from some of the subscriber fees that are paid into this as you adopt FirstNet, those are reinvested into this network over these next 25 years to ensure that the network build out happens as planned, as FirstNet oversees us as the contractor to build and maintain this network over time. And then the Band 14, this came up last week. I did an event for the National Guard, where all 56 states and territories came in. And there's some chatter out there saying Band 14, the other carrier is going to be able to tie into that with certain equipment and this, that, and the other. No, it's exclusive to FirstNet only. FirstNet, built with AT&T, is the only entity that will get Band 14. And we have devices that are specific for Band 14 that have come out as of March, and all of the manufacturers and partners will include Band 14 moving forward as this comes out. What question or questions do you guys have on this piece? Anything you want to add on this?
One thing about the deployables is I was talking to Colorado, had a bunch of wildfires, and so they had a tower burn, and they needed, it was in an area, so it was expanding to an area that didn't have coverage. And so they called the provider, and the policy was they only replace the coverage that exists. What's unique about FirstNet is that it'll expand. So just because there's so many wildfires on there, I just wanted to clarify that there is that option with the deployables, but it's more than just replace, it's also expand to where there isn't coverage for that emergency.
Yeah, and it's important too, aside from the 72 that are specific to FirstNet, AT&T has 300 plus other deployables on top of that at your disposal as well. So what's our commitment here at AT&T FirstNet? Well, here in the state of Utah, I expect you guys, like you guys have talked about and many others have talked to me about, to provide me feedback on what's working, what's not working, where we have coverage that's great, where we don't. That's the expectation here over the terms of this contract, to ensure that you guys are getting the network coverage that you need so that you can take advantage of the benefits and priority. In talking with Bucky and Regina, that fire up Middle Canyon, obvious dead spot for us. And so I had to go back to my network team again and let them know, hey, we got to focus on this canyon. It's not just the wildfire scenario. There's a lot of other events that go on in this canyon that public safety and first responders are called to, just not emergency scenarios. So that's the expectation. We've got great use cases here in the state of Utah that adopted. As a matter of fact, Bucky was the first one in the state of Utah to adopt FirstNet. Way back in January, December time frame. And then the biggest entity to adopt is UPD. They were the first big agency to adopt FirstNet here in the state of Utah as well. And it's very exciting. Like I said, we have thousands of subscribers on the network today that see the advantage of it. and big or small, you guys can take advantage of the FirstNet offering and have those benefits. And we're going to continue to see these use cases build. It's funny because a lot of the agencies within the state, some of them have been kind of if so-and-so isn't going to adopt, I'm going to kind of sit back and wait. Or we had one entity say, well, we want to be the first. We want to be the first. And then internal politics didn't allow them to be the first in the state. Bucky ended up being the first in the state. So it's just interesting how all of that works. But it's so exciting that as AT&T, we're truly American-made company, American Telecom and Telegraph. We've been in this business for 140 years. 50 years ago, we were tasked by the FCC to create the first 911 line in Alabama. We did that, and since then it's just boomed, and we've been able to support public safety since then. Here we are full circle now 50 years later, and we've been asked to support the mission of public safety and helping you guys on a communications dedicated platform to protect and save life and property. And here we are again, that we get to be a first in supporting this mission that you guys are in. First in the world, actually, of a dedicated public safety network. We had Tracy's company in Virginia over 4th of July. Britain came into town to talk with FirstNet Authority. There's other countries that are watching this closely to see how well it does, because it's something that's needed everywhere, not just in the U.S. But we appreciate everything you guys do. We're super excited that we get to help you guys out. And again, I'm the main point of contact for the FirstNet program here in the state of Utah. And then I work closely with Tracy, being our oversight, to ensure that what we do is going to get done for you guys. So we're very excited, and thank you guys for your time. Appreciate it. Let me turn it back over to Gordy.
I just want to take a minute and thank Tracy and Shay for coming out today and talking to you and giving some more information on FirstNet and what they have to offer. We are planning on having some, Tracy talked about, some FirstNet workshops, where there'll be some interactive workshops where you can come out and hear about some broadband applications, kind of see what first responders are doing with FirstNet now and what they'll be doing with it in the future. AT&T is also planning some roadshow events, where you'll be able to come out and actually get your hands on some equipment and try it out, see how it works, touch it, feel it. You know, we could probably bring a Colt out, possibly. He was talking about that, maybe. And then going forward, we'd like to look at planning some regional events within your regions. We'd like to reach out more to the stakeholders within your regions and let them hear this information and as well be able to touch some of the equipment and look at it and see what it does and what it could do for you. We have a website that we've developed, firstnetutah.org. Greg Hamilton's on the phone with us there. He's from SAIC. We've worked with them. Their web developers have helped us put this site together. There's a lot of information there. If you haven't been there, go there. There's latest news and information will be there on what's going on with FirstNet here in Utah. And then there's just a ton of information there if you want to take a look at it and learn some more about what's going on in the FirstNet world. So that's all I have. I don't know if there's any other questions, but thank you again for your time today. Appreciate you all. And I'm always available by phone if you need to get a hold of me or email, so happy to answer any questions that you want.
Thanks, Gordy.
Thanks, Gordy.
A couple of things. I understand that man, the largest organization in the state to adopt. If you have a case study of someone that worked with, I'd love to talk with you.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I can offer advice or recommendations to others considering it, help FirstNet, blog out of something like that.
Okay, great.
Who's it first? Anybody else? The reason I was taking pictures was for that website that we asked. Greg on the phone said, get some pictures.
Gordy in action.
Gordy in action.
You got it, Greg. Well, thank you so much to UCA and FirstNet and AT&T for coming to present to us today. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right, next item on our agenda is the ECATS update. Last meeting, as you recall, I was tasked to write a letter to UCA after our meeting with Melanie last month.
shortly after the meeting last month, I actually went to a conference where ECATS was exhibiting, and so went and talked to one of my colleagues there that works for ECATS, and asked the question. Remember, last month, one of the major issues was, we don't even know if this is possible. It may cost money, it may take time. We don't even know what it can be done. That seemed to be the major stumbling block last month. In talking with my friend at ECATS, she said, no problem, I could do it in a couple minutes. It's not a big deal at all, and it'd be free. Mm-hmm. So that kind of eliminated all of the main obstacles there. And so I met with Melanie Sideline after the reviews at the conference as well, just said, you know, hey, do you want a letter from all four of us, or an agreement between us and a one letter? What would you like? And so we're working that out right now. But I think the request from us is kind of a moot point right now, since we've resolved that all of the technical issues never were an issue.
Great news.
Carl, if that works for you, there may be interest with me to combine or coordinate a partnership with Salt Lake Highway Patrol as well as Utah Valley, Bonds Elder County. So I'm interested if you get that through.
Yeah, I think that ultimately it's just going to be some small groups, you know, regional. I have the buy-in of all of the Davis County agencies right now. Weaver declined to participate in our sharing project. But certainly I think it's going to help us with our resolution of all the transfers and cell phone tower problems and everything like that. So the four of us are going forward, and I'm sure we'll see. If we get it through, then you can follow up with those agencies around you. That'd be good. They've kind of indicated they've only had this one request, so it's good to hear that there's others out there that are interested in doing the same thing.
We'll let you go first.
Fair enough. Okay. So the next item on the agenda there is the closed session. Just, is there any reason that anyone has to have anything discussed in a closed session? Okay. Hearing none. We'll move down to number 8 then, other business. We did have the letter that was sent out, it's not actually printed, is it?
It is printed. Yes.
Did I miss it?
Should be
your first one.
Oh, there we go. For some reason, it's not part of my packet, but I have it here. So did anyone have a chance to read through that and have any questions or additions or corrections, anything they like to word differently? Oh, there it is. Something.
I think it looks good.
Yeah. I agree.
I do too. All right. Kudos to Mike for putting that together. And I know we were all tasked with putting together a list. I'm still working on mine for all of our leadership. Has everyone else had a chance to send in your stuff?
Yeah.
So you're just waiting on me? Is that what you're saying?
No, I've got Regina's and I've got the Chief's.
I gave you all the ones that
I've got. And I've got yours, so yeah.
Mike might be better to get any of us in Salt Lake County than I did.
Okay, perfect.
Team member of the Secret Society.
I had a quick question. I posed that question. I gave all law enforcement, fire, and EMS contact information, and it says to all police chiefs, fire chiefs, sheriffs along the different areas. My question was, do we need in addition to for this to get to mayors and county commissioners? Would it be a benefit to have them? I didn't include it initially, but you have every my long list. I'm so sorry.
No, that's great.
But so that's done, but what about those other ones? Just take it upon.
It certainly wouldn't hurt. Those were the people that were originally contacted to put this group together. So I know that they're aware of the group, but perhaps a reminder isn't a bad thing.
And we can possibly even send it out in our main email distribution that we send out monthly. We have the contacts for all of them, so I can do that if you guys would like that to be sent out. We can definitely do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So we just add that to the mayors and county commissioners. And we already had a motion on this last month, so I don't know if we need to have another motion to adopt this, or we're all comfortable, just the wording was fine and we're going to move forward. Okay, that's very good. Okay, does anyone else have any other business they'd like to bring up? Okay. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. I won't even ask all in favor, no? Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Great meeting.